paranormal aficionados. This week I'm drinking Grim the Localist, and it's a New York State cream ale. And it's a hybrid beer by Grim Artisanal Ales. And I usually don't like cream ales. I just feel like they're reserved for desserts. the idea of cream, but I wanted to try it because it was the Localist and we focus on so many local things. So it's good. It definitely is, feels like a cream soda, which is interesting. So today we're going to take a little bit of a trip around Coxsackie, Westerlo, and Selkirk area. And I wanted to start, it'll be a short but sweet episode. I did find one really interesting thing that I wanted to make sure we talked about, among others. But the first thing we're going to start with is in Coxsackie, in the David Pitkin's book, Ghost of the Northeast. And the story is called Servitude. Another New York ghost story in which animals figured prominently comes from Greene County, New York, just north of the small hamlet of Leeds on the road to Coxsackie. A girl died a violent death in the 1700s. For many years, ghostly phenomena at that spot caused travelers' blood to run cold. In colonial times before the American Revolution, Ralph Sutherland farmed a vast tract of land in the Catskills with indentured servants, workers whose passage from Europe he had paid. They agreed to labor for him for a specific period, usually 7 years, in return for their freedom. Jean, a proud Scottish lass in her early 20s, signed an indenture with Sutherland, but soon chafed at her burdensome duties. Wanting to join her lover some miles to the north, she ran away, but was pursued and caught a few miles north of Leeds. Sutherland bound her hands tightly and tied her to his horse's tail. Mounting, he spurred his horse into canter. Jean stumbled continuously and finally fell, but Sutherland did not stop. Her head slammed into a large rock and she was killed. Her death wasn't discovered until Sutherland reigned in north of the village. His neighbors, appalled at his cruelty, seized him and took him to the British colonial magistrate. His trial ended in a guilty verdict, but the judge, mindful of the Sutherland wealth and influence, gave Ralph a delayed sentence. He ordered Sutherland to wear a rope around his neck as a sign of guilt and to present himself to the court for hanging on his 99th birthday. Few believed he would live that long, but the condemned lived many years with the rope already in place, just awaiting a final jolt. Over the years, he was shunned by townsfolk and withdrew into the company of his inner demons. The scene of Jean's death horrified the good citizens of Greene County, who spurred their horses through that section of road in daylight and avoided it completely by night. Legends grew of a huge white horse with fiery eyes galloping along the Coxsackie Road north of the village, snorting smoke and dragging a shrieking bloody corpse. Nocturnal travelers described a moaning skeleton pulled by a galloping horse. Some told of seeing a woman seated on a large overhanging rock with a lighted candle on each finger, singing in a distraught voice. Each year, the tales became more fantastic. Sutherland became a recluse in his farmhouse. Few came to visit or do business with him. Neighborhood children avoided his house, whispering and pointing with wide eyes from a distance. He grew deeply remorseful, having lost both his fortune and his zest for life. But he did not die. Old-timers claimed a large, shaggy white dog like Jean's howled nightly facing Sutherland's house. The dog always vanished whenever anyone approached. Others reported that Jean's favorite cow refused to give milk and lay moaning in the rocky pasture. Sutherland, still wearing his noose, did not go mad or die, but outlived his bizarre sentence. No United States court would carry out the British colonial sentence when Sutherland turned 99, and he died at age 101 on February 2nd, 1800. Many neighbors believed he held out in order to die on his own terms. For many years thereafter, those who remembered the story and those who feared the specters of the night avoided the legendary haunted road after dark. The tale was written down in 1940 under a federal program to preserve folklore. Eventually, however, the old dirt road from Leeds to Coxsackie was widened, paved, and designated Route 23B. Today, automobiles and trucks rush past the spot, with the drivers distracted by less grisly modern concerns. Few are mindful of the local history anymore, especially the gruesome details of this long expanse of highway, and the concept of selflessly serving others has today become even more loathsome for young Americans than Gene could ever have imagined. And next, I just wanted to tell a personal story from someone named Victoria in Coxsackie. My friend slept over last night. We were looking for our apps on our iPod Touch. We came across an app called Ghost Radar. We were looking at reviews and we figured it would be fun to fool around with. In the morning, we studied the app and realized that it was saying things that had to do with our actual life. For example, the radar showed a yellow ghost in the corner. We went to the location where it was at and it was the fridge. Then the ghost said, seeing vegetables. We were really freaked out. Right now, it just said, observe. I believe it was trying to tell us. It was observing what I am writing down. Please, if you have any info on a woman with a son and a husband who died in the Hudson River while in a rowboat, please post. So that is Coxsackie. And then I wanted to move over to Westerloo, and I found one story there submitted by Anonymous, so I definitely wanted to include it. I have always wanted to capture the experience of a ghost in a picture or face-to-face. It looks like I got my wish. I asked my mom if I could go to a cemetery nearby my home to see if I could capture this experience in a picture. So when I got there, I stepped out of the car and took multiple photos and noticed a figure kneeling down in front of a gravestone. I took my iPhone and closed up on it and got a better view. The appearance was a woman with a white shirt on, long black hair, and black leggings on. This might sound odd or someone that you would see today, but there was no one there at all. Then a recent 2 or 3 weeks later, I took a picture of the same grave in the same position, and there was nothing there except for a chilling picture of an empty gravestone. So, short but sweet in Coxsackie and Westerloo. But then I found something really interesting in Selkirk, and I found it across several sites. It's not a lengthy story, but it's definitely worth noting. I don't know how to pronounce it or if it's an acronym. It's SABIC, and Innovative Plastics. And it's on 1 Norrell Avenue in Selkirk, New York. So we're moving over to Selkirk. So this building was previously GE Plastics and originally the Becker Farm. SABIC, Innovative Plastics in Selkirk, is said to be haunted by 3 ghosts. Back when the land was still a farm, Mr. Becker caught his wife having an affair with a slave. He pushed the slave down the farmhouse stairs, killing him. Becker then killed his wife in an attempt to decapitate her. Following the grisly murders, went down to the basement where he hanged himself. The old farmhouse stands to this day, and witnesses say the spirits of all 3 can be seen from time to time. The lights in the basement flicker on and off on their own accord, and motion detectors will sometimes light up in a pattern as though someone is walking through the house, though no living person is actually there. On the second floor, a phantom perfume scent is said to emanate from the spot where the wife was killed. And, I just thought that was really interesting. And I actually found an eyewitness account from someone, and I have photos of it. So I will absolutely post them. So on the Scary Toga Project Facebook page, which I've talked about before, Scary Toga Project, like Saratoga, but Scary Toga, there is an eyewitness account from a guard that worked there from 1989 to 1991. I worked there with my wife as security at GE Plastics. I worked the 12 to 8 shift. At the time, they had these swipe card stations all over the plant, like credit card style, and you would record where you were and what time you swiped the station to check it. The Becker house was always my last stop, and I hated it. As soon as you walked in, you could feel that you were being watched. There was the original home and a newer addition, and it was pretty much a long walkway or hallway with cubicles on either side. Typical office setup. I did the new section first, two swipes there. I would walk past the basement door and upstairs. That was not too scary, but I usually smelled the perfume people talked about. It was like someone with perfume was standing right near you. Not an unpleasant smell, really, at all. After that, I went to the basement. Now down there was the freaking key was on the back wall in the third room. As soon as you open that door, it's hard to describe that gut feeling. It's not good. Leave now, that kind of feeling. But I had to do it. If you skipped it, they would yell, and that's a BS story, yada, yada, yada. You have to basically go down there. You walk down these small stairs straight back and through a doorway into the left into another room. I'm getting the creeps writing this and remembering it. Then you hang a right, walk about 20 feet or so into a small room, and on the back wall of that was the swipe. Why would they make them do that? Ugh. I kid you not, as soon as you swipe that card, the lights would go off. It scares me, I still swear. I'm goosebumps looking around, and it's about 2:10 a.m. You knew you were being watched. I ran up the stairs, out the door, not far away, and I swear it seemed someone was looking out at me. A get-out-of-my-house feeling. It was a dread feeling, really bad. I mean, very dark and aboding. Foreboding, maybe? I went down there three more times, and after that, I went to the boss and said, I can't go down there anymore. I'm sorry. It's real. I don't care what everyone says. It's fucking real. There was two other guys that wouldn't go either. I was not a GE employee. I worked for Wacken Hut Security. They got us to do that building because all the GE security and maintenance guys refused to go down there. I can't explain in words how truly frightening it was in that building. I never did find or check into the story, but regardless if it's true or not, there's definitely something there. I wanted to make sure I mentioned this building. I feel like it's a building you can still go to. It is a more notorious thing in the area, so I definitely wanted to mention it. And then, last but not least, I wanted to just tell one other personal story from Selkirk that I found, and it's submitted by Anonymous. At Selkirk Park, there are a couple of tennis courts. The one that is further from the parking lot holds a terrible secret. Under the middle of the tennis courts is a dead body buried. There was an individual grave there of someone who died long ago before the area was settled. Back then, if someone died far from home, they would just bury them wherever they were. When they built the tennis courts, they just plowed away the pile of rocks that marked the grave and went ahead with the construction. Well, everyone knows you don't do that without consequences. The tennis court is now haunted because of this. Anyone who has ever played there enough will tell you that the balls don't bounce normally in that court. They will bounce opposite of the direction they normally would. They are, in fact, violating the laws of physics. I'd be very careful. The ball phenomenon could just be the tip of the iceberg. Sometimes these type of hauntings can cause serious misfortune to those exposed. Oh, that is terrifying. It's hilarious about a tennis court being haunted, but that concept of kind of someone's grave or body being disrespected and then paranormal consequences is definitely something that is a common thing in some of the darkest stories that I've heard. So very creepy. So short and sweet little road trip, but there was enough in this little area that I wanted to make sure I talked about it and broke it down. We'll be moving into the Del Mar, a little bit farther north, Del Mar, Voorheesville area next week. So I just wanted to make sure that I gave credit to the places in these areas that had some interesting things. And as always, I just wanted to mention the place I got my information from: ghostsofamerica.com, newyorkhauntedhouses.com, hauntedplaces.org, the Scary Toga Project Facebook page, and then David Pitkin's book, Ghosts of the Northeast. On that note, a big cheers. Maybe one day I'll drive by and try to go into SABIC Innovative Plastics. And big cheers. And on that note, happy haunting.